So there's several things that we need to, as far as what we've established concerning the resurrection. One, God's pattern in redemption for your soul, for all of us, for the world, is first the spiritual and then the physical. That's the pattern in redemption. This is the exact order in which Adam lost it. Spiritually, he was cut off from God in the moment he sinned, and then his death was manifested in the physical 930 years later. Well, it's the same way in its being restored. Jesus has restored the things of the heavenlies, right? Jesus, the spiritual, has been fulfilled, but now it must be manifested. So first the spiritual and then the physical. It's that way in you. Right now your spirit has been reconciled to God, but your body is yet to be redeemed. That salvation must be manifested. So God's pattern of redemption is first the spiritual and then the physical. Two, the kingdom of God is coming to us, not us to it first. And this has a dual meaning. That first of all, in the order, it's not about you going to heaven. It's about heaven coming to you. And it also, we can see that you see everything of God originates in heaven and is manifested on the earth. That's part of that pattern. Everything starts in the spiritual and is manifested to the physical. So it's not about so much about you going to the kingdom of God any more than it was about you going to God. It was about God coming to you. And that we know that literally and figuratively is true. The kingdom of heaven comes to us. First, by his spirit, he makes his home inside us in the spiritual, right? Through that reconciliation. But also, it wasn't you that sought God, it's God who sought you. The kingdom of heaven is coming to you. And we have all of those verses where Jesus talks about, you know, if I drive out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And this is the way that we see it. Three, the kingdom of God is therefore come in the spiritual and is yet to be manifested in the physical. That's what we're looking for. Four, both physical and spiritual must be reconciled to God through Christ, both body and spirit, for it to be complete. That is the salvation of your soul, both heaven and earth, both Jew and Gentile. You see all of those things. It's an important point. Five, faith through grace, the grace of God, in the sacrifice of Christ, is our access to the Father now in the Spirit. The resurrection is the promise of the body's redemption. Six, the redemption of the body is the completion of our adoption and our salvation. Seven, the Holy Spirit is the seal that God will keep his promise, and it is a deposit on the resurrection of the dead, an earnest of the salvation of your soul. Everybody with me? Those are seven things that are true. Those are seven things that you can look to as facts that will not change. The order of redemption, first the spiritual, then the physical. The kingdom of God is coming to you, not you to it first. The kingdom of God, therefore, has come in the spiritual and is yet to be manifested to the physical. Both physical and spiritual must be reconciled through Christ. Your faith, it starts with your faith, entering into the spiritual, into that sacrifice, and it is our access into this grace in which we now stand in the Spirit as we await the resurrection, the promise of the body. The redemption of the body is the completion of our adoption and our salvation. The Holy Spirit is the seal that God not only will keep his promise, but it is an earnest on what he has promised us in the salvation of our soul. So when the resurrection, that's what we come to now. So far, we've learned from the scriptures that we will share in a resurrection like Jesus's. We have learned the resurrection is the hope or the end of this gospel. It is the goal of this gospel. We have learned the pattern and the order of redemption. First the spirit and then the body, right? First the spirit through faith and then the body through the resurrection. We even learn a bit concerning God's plan of reconciliation. So now let us turn our attention to the time when this hope will be fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life we have hope in Christ only, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they are Christ at his coming. So it tells us very clearly, right? It is at his coming when we will receive our resurrection, that Jesus is the first fruits of what? Of those born from the dead, the firstborn of the resurrection, right? It's that simple. Jesus in his first coming brought us salvation through faith. He brought us the reconciliation. In his second coming, he brings us the fulfillment of this great salvation, the resurrection from the dead, the redemption. This is our focus on his appearing as his disciples. It is the fulfillment of this gospel that we stand in faith for. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, and notice there's that phrase, the coming of the Lord, we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. It is a literal appearing. Let me say that again. It is a literal appearing. Every eye will see him. Matthew 24, verse 27. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great trumpet, sound of a trumpet. I just read that, didn't I? 1 Thessalonians 4. Sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The gathering of the elect is the resurrection we hope for. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, all the saints of God have this hope. This is our gospel. So remember, everything will have to be in the context of verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Matthew 24, 42, the same chapter tells us later, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, you also be ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. He comes as a thief in the night, and the world will not be ready in spite of all the warnings. He comes unexpected, like birth pangs do to a woman. But these birth pangs that come upon the world end in a great travail that we call the Great Tribulation. This is a sign that the children of God are about to be revealed from the womb of the earth. In the fullness of God's kingdom, this is the resurrection of those at Christ, in Christ at his coming. Romans 8:18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, when they're revealed. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's that deposit God has given you, right? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's what we're waiting for. For if we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, we do with patience wait for it. First Thessalonians 5:1. And this is something that you got to pay close attention to. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need I write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Revelation 3:2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain and are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou wast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and shall not know what hour shall come upon thee. We will not receive this resurrection until he comes. So we watch, and we wait patiently in faith. Romans 13:11. For we know, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, and not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once suffered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. All of these tell us what we're looking for. A hope. The hope of the resurrection. As 1 Peter 1-3 tells us, it is a hope we've been born again into. A lively hope. That's kept in heaven for us through faith. What we have now, we have by faith. But when he brings that salvation, we wait in hope. He brings us that eternal life. John 6:35, and he said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. And I said unto you that you also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father give me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven. Remember, it's always from heaven to us. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that all which he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day, the resurrection. So everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up the last day. This is our hope. It's clarity from Scripture. Jesus will bring the promise of God to all who belong to him and all of those who wait for him. Are you standing in faith? Are you waiting in patience? Do you share in this great hope? What we need to do here in talking about this hope is understand that there are those who will want to destroy it. There's enemies out there who want you to believe lies. And let me tell you something about lies and false hopes. They never end well. False hopes do not end with a blessing. This is why it tells us we must know the truth. Know the truth. The truth will set you free. And we've seen here from these scriptures very clearly that Jesus is coming a second time. And that when he comes, he's bringing the resurrection with him. And this is our hope, that when he does come, to share in a resurrection like his. And this is why we wait for his appearing. Those who are teaching things like a pre-tribulation rapture, or the idea that the blessed hope is that you are taken into heaven away 7 years so you don't have to suffer before Jesus actually returns. That's just not in the scripture. That's not what the scriptures say. It tells us very clearly about the sleeping servant. It tells us in Matthew 24, Jesus, when he coins the term, like a thief in the night, when he said if the goodman of the house had been awake, then he wouldn't have suffered his house to be broken into, would he? And he goes on to talk about the drunken servant. He says, suppose that the one he's left in to give meat in due season, suppose that servant has now become slothful, and suppose he's fallen asleep, and suppose he's eating and drinking with the drunkards and beating his fellow servants. Suppose that happens. It won't be good for that servant when his master returns. 4 and 5, starting in verse 3, tell us not only of Jesus' second coming and the resurrection and our hope, but it tells us also like a thief in the night, in the order in which Jesus coined it in Matthew 24, concerning his second coming. And it also says like a woman upon who's in travail, that this time of tribulation comes upon her. And it also tells us very clearly that those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night, where he is literally referring to what Jesus said in Matthew 24 concerning his second coming. It's obvious. You've got to read 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 together to understand that Paul is quoting thought for thought from Jesus in Matthew 24. That the very term, like a thief in the night, is coined by Jesus himself in regards to his second coming. And at his second coming, he will bring us the resurrection of the dead. That's our hope. The blessed hope has never been the timing and manner that you are removed from the earth so you don't have to suffer. The blessed hope is the fact that when Jesus does come, you will share in a resurrection like his and be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortality shall put on immortality. That's the hope of our gospel. And we don't have another. Now, we are going to get it specifically concerning Jesus' second coming. In the classes that we're going to do, we're going to define the last days, define the last day, and talk about the day of the Lord. We're going to talk about the hope of the resurrection, and we're going to talk about the resurrection that occurs at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. And we're going to put everything in order according to the way the scriptures order them. So I invite you to continue on with us for those classes. We will continue on to tomorrow night, and we will continue on Tuesday night. Possibly, if things work out, I'll possibly do a Wednesday night class. I'm not sure. But this will complete for tonight. And this is a good basis to understand not only that you will be bodily resurrected, but you're looking for this resurrection at Jesus' second coming. And that your salvation is fulfilled through the resurrection of the dead. It's a good place to stop. Questions or comments, please feel free.